I got catcalled, and it was on my street. There was a guy sitting like a couple stoops down from the building I live in, and I had never seen him before. Like, I don't even think he lives on my street. And then he just goes, "Hey, sweetie, look at you, looking all beautiful and shit." Yeah, you know, classic line. It's like time-tested, mother not approved. So I walked by him, and then he kept talking to me. He was like, "Oh, I see you." I was like, okay, I think that's the baseline of what we've established here. We both see each other. Thank you for naming it. And then he kept walking, and he was like, "There you go." I was like, is he just going to keep narrating my day? Very unimaginatively.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Status Complicated. Thanks for joining. Kicking it off this week, we start off with a snippet from comedian Aparla Ninsharla, which tackles unwarranted street harassment, aka catcalling, that many women and some men face. And it sets the stage for my guest, writer Jenny Kuttner, talking not only about her dating experiences, but complications that extend beyond the dating world into larger social issues. And in talking to her, I realized that in certain ways, these larger social issues really shape who we date, but I'll let her explain. So we have a very special guest this week. We have Jenny Kuttner, senior staff writer at Mike, an online news source where she writes for their connection section. And she focuses on sexuality, relationships, and reproductive justice. So welcome.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So she's the author of the article that we talked about last week. It's called An Open Letter to the Woman My Boyfriend Slept With Before Me. And I covered this piece in our episode called The X Factor. So if you haven't checked it out, you can go on to, of course, my connection section. And then we'll also have a link to it on our mi83network.com website under the Status Complicated section. So I wanted to do like a really quick recap of what Ryan, my husband, talked about, and then kind of, you know, hear what Jenny has to say. Mm-hmm. So they gave their perspective on her article, which was thanking the ex-girlfriend of her current boyfriend. So this week we invited her to talk more about that, and I wanted to dive in on the two points where that I took away from the article, and one was the positive interaction between two females in the situation, an ex-girlfriend and current girlfriend, which I feel like is not seen often. So I was curious as to, is that something that you wanted to portray in the article? Was that a thought behind the article, or?
I don't want to say that that was, it wasn't a primary thought, and I thought it was interesting that you brought that up, because it's something that I do, I guess, try to focus on in my personal life, and it's definitely something I'm focused on in my writing, is the way that sort of dismantling this notion that women are always going to be catty, and that they're always going to be in competition with one another. I don't think it has to be that way, and I especially don't think it has to be that way in the case of a breakup. So it wasn't a primary thought. Frankly, I don't know that this is something that I would ever actually do, that I would write this letter. And for the record, the piece itself is sort of an amalgam of other stories. It's not just my own experiences. It's certainly not just one guy I was seeing and one ex-girlfriend. I spoke to multiple different women. I relied on multiple experiences of my own. And so I guess, yeah, it's a funny question to think about whether in my own life I would ever actually send a letter saying this.
I agree. Well, that's what I've had other friends read it, and they're like, I love the concept behind this. Would I ever actually do something like that? Probably not.
Probably not.
But it is. I think there is this notion between like the ex-girlfriend and the new girlfriend, and more so a dislike for one another for whatever reason.
I
just found that interesting.
Like, I will say, what the closest I've gotten to this is, you know, my my ex-boyfriend is dating someone who I've now met a few times. I think she's super nice. I don't know that I have a ton to talk to her about on my own, but it's not about me having a ton to talk to her about. It's about him having a ton to talk to her about. Right. But it's funny because while there has not been any animosity between us, we do not ever acknowledge that I used to date her boyfriend. It is the way that we interact with each other. It's just, I'm just a person who's around and sort of associated with this group of friends and who's still friends with him, but we don't talk about it, which is, it adds another layer to a letter like this of maybe you can convey some of that stuff in writing, but in real life, when I'm at a mutual friend's birthday party, talking to my ex-boyfriend's girlfriend, none of this is ever going to come up. And I don't want it to, frankly.
Right, because it's really awkward to be like, mm-hmm. thanks for doing all this
right.
stuff. No, yeah. I get it. I thought that was interesting. And I think that's one of the things that, I mean, we can talk about it a little later, but that Ryan and Mark talk about is from the male perspective, mm-hmm. how they never think about, like, an ex-boyfriend playing a part mm-hmm. in who their current girlfriend is.
Absolutely. And that is definitely something that we talked about, my editors and I talked about brainstorming this piece. I do think that while I personally can't imagine actually having a conversation like this in my own life, I think it would be much more likely for two women to have this conversation about a man, perhaps, than two men ever, because I do think that men are much more likely to completely ignore and try and pretend that their partners have never been with anyone else. My editor raised that issue of when she started dating her boyfriend, he explicitly said, I really don't want to think about you ever having sex with someone else before me. It's weird.
It is.
I do think that women are probably more likely to engage with that idea and to talk about it with other women, because I think that we are more inclined to do that in the first place. I think that at a certain point in adulthood, for men specifically, it's no longer really so, you know, you might talk about your sexual exploits, but you don't really talk about your relationships with your girlfriends, whereas women do. They talk about their boyfriends with each other, and I think that that is, it definitely lends itself to a conversation like
this. It's funny you say that, because this is something I talk to my husband a lot about. Like, when he talks about his friends that, you know, they've been dating for a long time, I'm like, oh, how's their relationship? Like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. What's happening? He's like, I mean, like, they're fine. Yeah.
He hasn't said that there's anything wrong, right. So they must be fine.
Yeah, I was like, so you never just ask, like, it's like, how's the relationship mm-hmm. going? He's like, unless he brings it up, like, I'm not
you're not doing a deep dive.
Yeah, versus with your girlfriends, you're like, oh, you guys have been dating, like, what's happening? And then you're mm-hmm. like, all of a sudden talking about even, like, their sex life all mm-hmm. of a sudden. And I feel like guys are just not.
Yeah.
Not like that at all. I find that really interesting.
Went out with friends recently, and one of them sat down, and one of the first things she said, we might have talked about work first, but one of the first things she said was, my boyfriend and I are having our first real fight, and I'm really upset with him for X, Y, Z reason. This is what he said. This is what I said. We haven't texted since 3 p.m. So many details.
Exactly.
And we really discussed it for maybe 20 minutes trying to figure out what she was going
to
do.
No, I know. That happens to me all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's actually part of the reason why I started this show, was because, like, I have all these conversations with mm-hmm. my friends all the time about issues mm-hmm. that they're facing. And it's just a natural thing. And my husband would hear us on the phone or, mm-hmm. like, be out to brunch or whatever with us and just say, like, I can't believe you guys actually cover
everything
all these topics.
Everything you talk about, yeah. Well, and that's sort of exactly the sort of stuff that we're trying to cover at Connections. We very much look for stories. I always say that I think most of my pieces are inspired by me talking to my friends and saying, is that a thing? I think that might be a thing. I'm going to ask around and see if that's a thing and then write about it. And that, this piece arose from a lot of different things, but many things to make a thing. There were a lot of different parts of this idea that sort of fell together into this letter. But one key piece was talking to people and realizing that they also sort of thought about their relationships within the context of their partner's larger history and within the context of their own larger dating history. So I knew I was not the only one that was thinking about this stuff and feeling this way.
Well, yeah, I was saying actually that I would feel like the ex-boyfriend or the ex-girlfriend plays a bigger part in the beginning of when you start to date someone and take them more seriously.
Absolutely.
And that was part of what I was thinking, because like 2 years, 3 years of dating this person, that person mm-hmm. no longer seems that relevant. Mm-hmm. But this would be from someone that just started to get serious with someone, and this person that you've heard about or has some mm-hmm. sort of presence in their life is always going to be a mystery, and you just, you're fascinated by mm-hmm. them in some way or another. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I kind of imagined it being set right, maybe a month after you've started calling someone your boyfriend.
Right.
Very That's shortly after you've had that conversation of like, I feel secure saying that this person is my partner and not just that guy that I'm sort of seeing.
Right. And that's when those conversations happen. It's mm-hmm. like, because you're so curious about what their life was with that person mm-hmm. before. So it made a lot of sense. And then the other thing, in reading your article, I read it a couple times, I started to realize one thing, because I've obviously read other articles that you write for Connections. And I noticed that you did a really clever thing with this article. You...
Please tell me what could it possibly be.
Maybe I picked up because I was reading all these other topics that you were writing about. And you did this really interesting thing where it's not only this thank you letter, but you strategically wove in key topics like open conversations around sex with a partner, mm-hmm. equal division of labor around the house, wage gap between men and women, catcalling, the support of feminism. These mm-hmm. are all things that you write about. Mm-hmm. Like on all and everything that I was mm-hmm. reading. And so you wove those topics in. I mean, by no means were you really talking in detail about them, but you made a point mm-hmm. to call them out. So I really liked that. Was that intentional?
Thank you. It was intentional, and also just the reality of my life. I would hate to date me personally because I do talk about these issues a lot. I mean, it's because it's my work. I write about these things, and I write about them because I care deeply about them. So it's sort of chicken or egg. I'm going to talk about them inevitably because I care about them. I'm also going to talk about them because I think about them all day, and I engage with this stuff for like 60 hours a week at least.
Yeah.
So it's mostly that it's on my mind mm-hmm. and it sort of informs my view of the world. I am not a religious person, but I think that in terms of the role that feminism plays in my life is probably as close to religion as a lot of people get. It's a philosophy that shapes my engagement with the world, and it very much dictates what I am looking for in partners and friends. I we all do this, and it doesn't just have to be feminism. It's with anything that's really important to you. You're right. Not going to date someone that doesn't share that value system or who can't see the merit in it. Mm-hmm. And I now have found myself, you know, I think I end up sort of educating partners in the real specifics of my feminist ideology because I think about it more, I write about it more, I have a women's studies degree. I do this in a really real way, and I don't think that every woman who is a feminist is necessarily going to be conveying lessons to her partner in this way. I think one thing that's interesting about this letter is that some of it is the sorts of things that if you sort of take feminism as seriously as I do, mm-hmm. That you're going to try and make sure a partner knows in a really logical, rational way. And then there's also stuff in there that's just female experience and expressing that to another person and sort of illustrating for them what it's like when it's not their own experience. So we can talk about the catcalling example. Yeah. I actually, that was a real one from a person that I was dating. He told me that we were talking about catcalling. Yeah. In the context of that street harassment video, mm-hmm. the Holla Back one, and just talking about it in, we live in the same neighborhood, so we were talking about what it's like in the neighborhood. We were talking about it in the context of his experiences walking down the street as a pretty attractive man who also sometimes gets catcalled. And he shared with me this anecdote where he said that he now gets how totally inappropriate it is in a new way just because of conversations that he's had, whether with his former girlfriend, with me, with his female friends, with his sisters, and just by seeing women on the street and then also experiencing his own sorts of feelings of being objectified. Yeah. He put it together such that one day he was walking down the street and a random man catcalled a random woman who he did not know in front of him. And his only response was to accept the compliment in this sort of gregarious, very overwrought way to point out that this strange man's behavior was really uncalled for and silly and never gonna accomplish anything except to make this woman feel probably really uncomfortable walking down the street. And the woman thanked him. Everyone started laughing kind of, but she said, like, you know, well, thanks. That was a cool way to handle that.
Yeah, I was going to say, as a woman, if you're getting catcalled, like, what's the best way to react to it? Do you acknowledge it? Do you ignore it? Do you just say thank you and then move on?
It's the never ending question. I think it's really different for every woman. I personally do not think that catcalling is a compliment, and I take it pretty seriously. I really don't appreciate it in a deep way. And again, because I write about it so frequently, I do sort of get this, you know, the rage bubble I have quashed a little bit, and it's not quite as, I wouldn't be able to survive if it were so acute all the time. But it does upset me, and it does, you know, it takes a while to stifle the urge to lecture everyone on the street. That being said, another thing that I write about and recently wrote about in a pretty deep way is women who get murdered for turning down strange men. And so while I would love to explain to people why I don't appreciate being stopped while I'm running late to go somewhere and told that I dropped my smile behind me, yes, it would be very refreshing to explain to that man why it should not matter to him that I'm smiling, but I also have no idea who that man is or what he might do to me if I talk back. So personally, I tend to ignore people. It really depends on the situation. The risks should not be real. No person, man, woman, whomever, no person should be committing an act of violence or aggression against another person because they've been rejected or rebuffed in some way. Absolutely. However, we live in a world where that threat is very real, especially for women. And I do think that it's something that you have to consider.
I don't know if you've seen Master of None.
I actually haven't, which is like career hazard, but I have not.
There is a great episode, I think it's maybe the second or third, where they show the side-by-side of a woman going home and the guys going home and how they just like left the same bar and she's walking out and she's starting to feel like someone's like following her. So she goes in the middle of the street, which is what you're supposed to do if you feel like it, so that, you know, cars can see you, you're in the light. And then side-by-side, the guy's just like being like, oh, whatever, And I was watching it with my husband. I'm like, oh my gosh, I've had to do that. And he took a moment and he was like, you've had to do that? When? So we had this whole discussion about that. Anyways, I just thought it was a very interesting point because I realized how much they don't understand until you bring it up.
Yeah. If my ex-boyfriend's girlfriend wants to thank me for this, I would joke that my favorite game was like, if we were out drunk at all, my favorite game would be like, you would feel safe walking alone here in the dark, and I only feel safe because you're here right now. Without you, I would be petrified and probably in a cab. But we can walk because we're together and I feel safe, and don't you see how screwed up that is? What kind of world do we live in? And he would say, okay, yeah, please, I get it now. Shh, stop talking. It was something that his response was always, you're right, I had not thought about that.
Yeah, and I agree, and I think it's good that we touched on that.
Yeah, speaking of which, then it kind of brings us to, have you gotten a lot of male responses? I mean, I know you heard the last podcast.
Yeah.
How have the responses been with the male's perspective?
So I haven't gotten I don't pay attention to any comments or anything. Okay. I have
probably
spoken,
smart.
Yeah, I have spoken to a few men about this. The guy that I was seeing at the time when I wrote it, it's actually really interesting. Some of the men that I've spoken to about it pretty much totally missed the point and didn't get the core premise of the piece. So the guy that I was seeing at the time, I didn't clear some of the examples by him, and I didn't tell him that I was writing it. I probably should have. But I figured since I was incorporating other people's experiences, it wasn't exactly a work of personal nonfiction. It wasn't a personal essay. It's nonfiction, but it was not a personal essay. So he texted me and said something along the lines of, you know, did you use me in this piece? And, you know, I kind of wish you had said something. And I said, I actually reported it out. I spoke to other people. There are other experiences in here. Only one of these things was specifically from you and only you. There are other things in here that apply to you, but they also apply to other men that I've dated, men that my friends have dated, random sources that I talk to. And he said, what was it? It was basically just, oh, so I guess then we've had some pretty general experiences, which is precisely the point that I think a lot of women convey these same things of what it's like to walk home alone at night or splitting the bill on a date and why you do it or feeling really aggravated that your partner never takes out the garbage or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
I think that these are conversations that many different, specifically heterosexual couples for these purposes. I think a lot of couples talk about a lot of these same issues, but yeah, for the sake of this piece, for heterosexual couples, I think a lot of this stuff is stuff that comes up pretty often and pretty generally.
I think everyone could relate to it.
Mm-hmm. And it's experiences that I have had with multiple partners of mine. So yeah, but I there were dudes who just kind of missed that it's applicable and that it's not just one poor schmuck who needed to be taught everything that he knows and that he learned it all from his ex-girlfriend.
I think that's like kind of what Mark and Rye were saying, but obviously we knew, and I made this point in the last episode, that you wrote this knowing that people take things from everyone, like your parents, friendships, whatever it may be, but they were feeling like it seemed like he was so helpless without this, with, you know, until he met this girlfriend, basically.
Which is a point I get, and it's funny that came up. I had included in the original draft a paragraph that was basically all like, let's give him a little credit here. He's actually a pretty good guy, and he's smart, and he gets a lot of this on his own. You didn't do everything. And we ended up cutting it because my editor and I had a conversation where she said that she felt like it was kind of waffling and it undercut the whole point of the piece.
Mm.
I do think, though, and I will say here, I do think that it's a really important point. And I guess the best way to put it is that not every man is going to learn these things from his partner, and not every woman is going to convey them. I think, first of all, not every woman is a feminist. Not every woman has the same experiences. Not every woman brings these things up quite as frequently as I do or as my friends do. And it's not, these things aren't quite so important in every single relationship. Additionally, I think you do have to be a certain type of guy to be genuinely responsive to this in a real way. I think you kind of have to be a feminist to begin with, even if your feminist politics aren't totally tweaked and perfected. I think you have to already view women as your equals and as full human beings to be the sort of guy that's going to turn out really well after dating a cool ex-girlfriend.
Did you have any responses to what Mark and I were saying that kind of struck out to you? Or
No,
I'm brutally honest.
No, I mean, I mostly just agreed with y'all. I see where you're coming from. I think a lot of it is just like it can't be a perfect thing, first of all, because it is a lot of different experiences combined into one.
Right.
It also is sort of the letter itself is born of a few different things. And I wanted to make sure that I was sort of responding to all these ideas that I came to it with. So one thing was the sort of thoughts that I had. See, I mean, the very original idea came from a place of, you know, to be totally blunt about it. It's not exactly the most wholesome origin story. But after I started sleeping with someone that I was seeing, my inference was pretty well-founded because I knew that he had dated someone for several years and that he had had a serious long-term girlfriend. But when I started sleeping with this person, my thought was, oh, you learned how to have sex in a relationship. This, not only that, you learned how to have sex in a communicative, open relationship where you discussed sex and your sexuality with your partner. And this was clearly something that you worked at. It's kind of like a weird gut instinct, but I think that happens a lot. And I think that you can tell when you're with someone what sorts of experiences they've had, and how experienced it makes them.
Right.
So it came from a place of being like, thank you, ex-girlfriend, for clearly talking to him about this stuff and for making this a priority. I'm really benefiting from it. And it also, you know, that's sort of the thing that I was getting at with the thank you for letting him be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you feel, whether it's sex or something else, when you feel, when you can judge from someone's behavior that they have been there before and that they have had an intimate conversation about something with someone else, it makes it that much easier for you to be comfortable having a conversation with them of your own. And it makes it easier to realize that, you know, if he's talked about what he does and does not like in bed before, or if a partner has conveyed that to him before, I can more easily say what I like and what I want and how we should do that. So it came from that. And then there was also a study that I wrote up about how men's sexism can make, benevolent sexism specifically, can make their female partners more sexist in the long term. But the researchers found that women's ideologies didn't have the same effect, and that if they were sexist, it didn't really influence the men. And it didn't say much about women's feminism influencing their male partners, but I thought that that was a really interesting thing, that men's views would potentially be more influential. In my own experience, my feminist views have really helped bring out the feminist views of my partners, and I've sort of helped give them words. I know this for a fact. I've had conversations with ex-partners about this.
Because it's going back to what we were saying before. I think that guys are not, they don't view it in a certain way because they've never had to, like when we were talking about the catcalling, and then they view it. But now when you start dating these guys and you start to bring attention to, let's say, the wage gap or whatever is happening, they're starting to pay attention and say, you're right. Like, why isn't Jenny getting the same amount of money that I'm, if we're at the same position and she's amazing? And why isn't this happening? Or they start to see it as like, my sister will probably encounter this or some female in their life. And I don't think that starts to connect until you meet someone that's really calling those things out.
Yeah, absolutely. It's why I would never want to date myself, because it's a constant women's studies seminar, but that's fine.
What do you look for in a partner?
He has to be a feminist.
Okay, number one.
I gravitate towards good men.
How do you define good men?
A lot of it is a gut feeling, which is not super helpful. Men who are respectful, men who are capable of talking about their feelings and willing to talk about their feelings, men who do think about these things, men who on their own are going to split the bill and say, but don't worry, I can get it because I know that I make more on average on the dollar than you do, probably as a funny joke, because I will think that that is funny. yeah, people who, you know, I, as I'm sure you've gathered, I am pretty talkative and express my views pretty freely, which means that most of my partners have been men who are a lot more reserved than I am and really good listeners. I don't know. I really am kind of like looking for a bud who I want to also have sex with. That's kind of my ideal partner. Someone that I just, who feels like a friend, who gets along with my friends, but who also is a romantic interest.
Have you had long-term relationships?
Yeah. I have had like one big one. And then a few smaller ones that, you know, the ones that were, they were my boyfriends and I, you know, I felt like they were serious relationships. And then I had this other relationship and realized that it totally eclipsed the other stuff. But yeah, I feel like I've learned a lot from all of them. I feel like I have sort of slowly, I used to sort of date assholes and I have transitioned out of that, and I don't do that anymore, generally speaking, which is refreshing.
Do you think it's an age thing? It was probably an age thing.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I think it was also, I was kind of a funny-looking kid, and always, like, I was always the smart girl and not the pretty girl, and so I think there was a part of it of finally being able to attract the assholes, and finally having those shitty dudes be into me. And then I realized, like, no, I would want to be with someone who would have been into me even when I wasn't, when I was a funny-looking weirdo. because I kind of want to be with a funny-looking weirdo.
I'm interested to know what you're going to be writing about or what you want to be writing about in the future.
This week, I'm writing about campus sexual assault, unfortunately. I am very interested in writing the human side of political issues that we talk about a lot, specifically feminist political issues. So when it comes to something like campus sexual assault, I'm not really interested in writing about policy, and I'm not even so much, I am interested in writing about activism, but I'm not even so much interested in writing about the movements themselves. I'm interested in the people within them and the experiences they have had. I'm much more interested in how people talk about sexual assault with their friends than I am in how they talk about it at a podium. I think the podium's really important, but I think that there's a side of many, many of these issues that we don't talk about. I've done that a lot lately with abortion. Just last week, I had some really moving conversations with men about their partners' abortions, because men don't have, you know, increasingly we are talking about abortion and reproductive rights much more openly, and women are getting space to tell their abortion stories. I am a woman who has had space to tell my abortion story, but another, this idea came from realizing that my ex-boyfriend was just sort of there for it, but he was very much involved in the situation. He was very much there for me. He had his own feelings about it, and no one wanted to talk to him about it. And just as men don't tend to discuss their relationships with one another, he didn't have any guy friends to talk about this with. Even I was, at the time, the only one of my friends who had had an abortion or unintentionally gotten pregnant. But I could still talk to my female friends about it, because the fear was always much more prescient for them, and they were always much more aware of the possibility of facing an unintended pregnancy. Whereas I don't think that it is the same for men. So stuff like that is really important to me, of figuring out how people actually talk about these big issues that shape our ideology and that shape our public policy and that do shape the world. They also shape the way that we engage with each other. And that means that we're talking about them and thinking about them and acting them out in some way. And that, to me, is really, really interesting.
And that wraps up this week's episode of Status Complicated. I want to thank Jenny Kuttner for sharing her thoughts on everything from dating to catcalling to very personal experiences. And I know that this episode covered many topics beyond dating, but I think it called attention to the importance of having candid conversations with a partner about our experiences and our values, not only to grow within our own personal relationships, but really to, in some ways, change the way we interact with others and gaining a new understanding and seeing the world from another perspective. Thanks for listening.